This is Brad Garfinkel, and I listen to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show, still glowing in the glow of doing her first marathon, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, I need just a minute. I need to put on my sunglasses.
And I'm still carrying that medal around. It spins. It keeps me entertained. It's wonderful. So how are you today, Mike?
I'm doing okay. I'm still recovering from quite a weekend, even though it's been a while. I'm looking forward to the next Run Disney experience. Do you have a shout out?
I do. A very, very special shout out to four people in the same family. And they are the Armis family from Villa Rica, Georgia. Alex is dad, and he sent a really, really nice note saying, you know, how much he's enjoying the podcast. But he also has some athletic sons, and he was telling me a little bit about them and how much they enjoy the podcast, too, so I thought I would give them a shout-out. Samuel is 13 years old, and he's a Paralympian. He does basketball and swimming and baseball and wheelchair basketball team. And then Ethan is 9 years old, and he's a runner, also a baseball player, and has done all sorts of 5Ks and things like that. And then Zachary is 7 years old, and he's also a future Paralympian. He also plays wheelchair basketball and likes to go fast in his racing chair. So we are very, very pleased and honored that the Armis family like the Mickey Miles podcast and hope to meet them someday at a Disney event, Run Disney event.
Awesome. I love to see them active. Love to see everybody active, as active as possible. So congratulations to everyone. You know, we've got so much stuff, Michelle, that you and I talked about how many different shows we could put together with all the things that we did.
We said 78. There are 78 shows.
78 shows. So we're trying to combine them, and this is one of those combination shows. And so what we wanted to do on this show is accomplish a few things. Number one, we wanted to give everyone an idea of what it takes to be a spectator at one of these Run Disney events, especially the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. We have received many questions, and for the most part, I think that we've answered them correctly. But there was always a lingering doubt in my mind regarding certain things. So,
It was our first weekend that we spectated for the half marathon. We had a lot of friends running the half, and we decided to run around and see what it was like to be a spectator for one of the distance events.
It's true. And on Sunday, when you ran, I decided that was the perfect time for me to try out all my theories and see how many times I could see you and how easy or how difficult it would be to get around the Walt Disney Resort on Marathon Sunday. So we're going to combine everything. We're going to talk about everything today. And hopefully along the way, we'll be able to answer some questions for those who are listening.
And for the second half of the show?
Second half of the show, I think we're going to interview each other. I'm going to interview you about your first marathon experience.
Oh, good.
Trying to bring back all those memories, both the comfortable ones and the uncomfortable ones. And I hope that along the line, we'll intersperse that with you asking me, well, Mike, how did you pop out of that tree? Or how did you end up next to that security guard when no one else was next to that security guard and things like that. So we can tell everyone what it's like to run their first marathon and tell everyone what it's like to find out and to be able to watch and cheer their family, friends, or whatever. So are you ready to go?
I'm ready. I'm excited about this.
Okay, so let's talk about the half marathon. On half marathon day. Neither you nor I were running, but a number of our friends, I don't know how many, but a lot were running, and we decided that we would do the best job we can to cheer them on. So what you and I did is we went to the gathering area for the half marathoners, and we tried to wish everyone we knew who was running, you know, good luck and be careful out there and all that. And once they went to the
wait a second. What time did we get there? That's the most important thing.
So
you're rushing along here.
So we weren't running, but we got there, I don't know, I want to say sometime around 3:30, 4 o'clock?
Yeah, I think it was at the latest 3:30 we got there. Yeah. And it was already starting to get pretty warm then, but very, very fun area. We got to, you know, give our friends a send-off, give them some hugs, and then we were on our way.
And what we did is we headed for the monorail, and we headed, and there were a lot of people heading for the monorail because a lot of people were heading for the Magic Kingdom and the Ticket and Transportation Center, which would be the first of probably two or three spots where you could watch your half marathon runner.
Yeah, and right away, do you remember, Mike, there were problems. We kind of made our way up the ramp pretty quickly. We thought we were doing a good job, and then, boom, there were monorail delays. So we were delayed, I don't know, what did we wait, about 15 or 20 minutes for that first monorail to come?
Yeah, we waited a long time. The ramp was, there was a line all the way down to almost the parking lot, and there was a problem. And there was also a problem when we got to the Ticket and Transportation Center. We were waiting for a monorail, the express, I think it was the express monorail, and that seemed to be having issues, so we had to go on the resort monorail.
Oh, it took a long time. So by the time we actually walked up Main Street, it was, do we want to say 5:30, 6, maybe 6 o'clock?
It took a while. I would say it took us 45 minutes to get from Epcot to Main Street, and it shouldn't have taken more than maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah, so there were those two down monorails really put a kink in things. So we told our friends we would be at the end of Main Street just as you get to the hub and you turn right to go into Tomorrowland. And right away, we were there were a lot of people there. We were not able to get to the area that we wanted to, except one of our running buddies, Tim Spicer, and his wife, Constance, I think her name is, saved spots for us. So we were able to cheer. That was so wonderful. Thank you very much, Tim. We were able to cheer with Tim and his wife, and probably there were about 8 of us cheering there.
About 8 of us, and along the way, up Main Street, we saw others who were cheering, others who were planning on running the next day, and those who were just there to cheer. And I believe that was quite an experience, Michelle, because I don't think we've ever done that before. We've always run the half.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things right away that I thought was really neat, because I've run the half before, I guess I've never gotten to the Magic Kingdom before daybreak, but the castle was still lit up with the icicles. And because we actually stood right in front of the castle for a long time, it was really interesting to see just the looks on the runners' faces as they saw the castle, but also how gradually as daylight came, the lights kind of, it wasn't like, I don't know, I guess I never thought about it. It was like a switch went off and the castle lights went off. They gradually went off, and it was just really, really, really nice. People were stopping in front of us and having their picture taken in front of the castle. So that was fun. Another thing that I really enjoyed was just, you know, in addition to seeing the elite runners and all different running abilities, just the look of people, especially people who we knew, when they were running down Main Street, which is just fantastic anyway, but when they saw somebody that they knew there, don't you think that they ran a little faster, big smiles, stopped for a photo? It was just really, really nice to see. You know, usually we're on the other side where people are cheering for us, and I know how great that makes me feel, but just to be able to say, hey, you know, you're doing a great job, go, 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 and that was really rewarding. I really liked that. What about you?
Well, I was just thinking that when I've run these races, all I see are the backs of people's heads. when we were cheering, we could see their faces. We could see the expression on their faces. And I would say that 95% of those who we saw in Magic Kingdom were smiling and happy and singing and everything. And not singing, but very, very happy. There were some that were struggling, obviously. There were some that may not have been prepared as well as they should have been for the race. But for the most part, that is the highlight of the marathon, other than the finish line and maybe the start. The highlight of running on Walt Disney World Marathon weekend is running up Main Street.
Yeah, but, you know, Mike, in defense, I think preparation definitely is part of it, but this was an unusual circumstance. So even people who were prepared were struggling a little bit that day because of the heat. This is about mile 5.5. And I think everybody, you know, the whole weekend long, everybody was taking a lot longer in these races. So it was nice to see people going up, you know, going up Main Street, seeing the castle, really enjoying themselves during this race.
And you know what I enjoyed the most, Michelle? I noticed that when anyone's runners went by, like if it's cousin, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever, cousin, if they ran by, once they ran by, they left. And I can understand that. But you and I stayed till the very end. We at one point, we were the only two people cheering, and we were cheering for everyone. And I think that that's something that I'm hoping that all the runners realize when people are out there cheering, they're trying to give them that energy boost that they need. And there were some people who were struggling. We were cheering them on. So
yeah, it was exhausting. One of the questions, it was exhausting but rewarding, not as exhausting as running the race. One of the questions that we had in another show was where you could get some coffee. And there were several places, so I just wanted to make sure that people knew that I believe that we saw, I can't remember if it was the Ticket and Transportation Center or there was some place when we first got the monorail, maybe over at Epcot, there was a coffee stand. But also when we got onto Main Street, right at the beginning of Main Street, as you face the castle on the left, there was sort of a temporary stand there. And then at one point I went over to Casey's Corner, which was actually serving a full fast food breakfast. You could get eggs and things like that. So for people who are wondering for next races where you might get something, even though the Main Street Bakery is closed for refurbishment, there are plenty of places to get snacks.
Wanted to mention that anyone who wanted to see their runners at more than one spot would be hard-pressed to go from the Magic Kingdom to the Grand Floridian, which would be a possible spot to see one of their runners after they've seen them on Main Street. I think it would be a challenge to get there. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but it would be quite a challenge. So my suggestion would be, if you are rooting for your runner on Main Street, then my suggestion would be that the next spot you try to catch your runner would be at the opening as they run into Epcot. And they run into Epcot right near the bus stop, right near behind Living Seas. And that would be way to the right of the entrance to Epcot. So taking a bus or even taking the monorail will get you there much quicker. Now, when you talk about that part, that's about mile 10 or 11, maybe 12, and the runners are going to be tired by then. But it may take you a while to get there.
Over at the Grand Floridian?
The Grand Floridian, I think, is very chancy.
That's like mile 9.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking, Michelle, near the I'm talking Epcot. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. Let's say if I was cheering you on at that point where we're talking about the bridge to Tomorrowland, and as soon as you left me, if I headed for the Grand Floridian, I don't know if I would get there in time to see you. And we'll touch more upon this when we talk about how I did my spectating and how you ran the marathon, because I think that will give more perspective to this.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to add one more thing, which is, you know, as a runner and now as a spectator of the half, I think for me, where we were was the most magical place to be as a spectator, to be in front of the castle, to be on Main Street and hear the music, to see the looks of the runners as they came down Main Street. The only thing is I wish the monorail hadn't broken down, because I think we were early enough. I think that was the only wrench in the whole works, but I would do that again in a heartbeat. That was really fun to cheer on Main Street.
And I need to apologize to all the people who took photos of themselves with the castle in the backdrop, because unfortunately I was in those photos too. So yeah, a lot of people were taking photos. That was the spot, Michelle, where we were, where people would...
Yeah, so why did you have your hands up in the air and waving and making bunny ears behind them?
I wanted to show everybody that I was excited for.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's time now that we transition over to Sunday. And on Sunday, you were making your inaugural debut to run the marathon, and I was making my inaugural debut of... spectating on my own for the marathon. So we're both doing things for the first time.
Well, you've spectated for the marathon before. You just haven't run to different spots. You've usually stayed in one spot, right?
Yeah, that's true. This one, we both did, I guess. But I would say that we were passive when we did that. I was active on this particular
right.
Sunday.
And I should say, the first thing I want to say is, if you were there and you knew me, then Saturday night, Sunday morning, I got myself worked up into a tizzy because although I had done the training, I had an injury on my toe that was actually feeling okay. But the thing that really got me worked up was the heat. I was really, really worried about the heat. So Mike and many other friends were veteran marathoners were really trying to reassure me, because I was pretty sure I was ready for it. The unknown thing was the heat. Training in New Hampshire, I don't usually run even in the summer on days that are so hot, as hot and humid as it was then. So I got myself worked up, but by the time it was race time, I was pretty calmed down.
Yeah, we just wanted you to finish. We didn't want you to finish in 2 hours. We wanted you to finish.
Yeah, well, I think that was the message that Run Disney kept on giving everybody, was that the conditions were a little bit extreme, and we should really just be safe and finish the race.
So, Michelle, we drove to the gathering area a little bit earlier than normal. I think we got there at 3:30, and we went to the race retreat tent. And why don't you tell everybody how that race retreat prepared you for the race? What you were able to do that you would not have been able to do had you not taken Runner's Retreat?
Well, it's always a gamble to do race retreat, and I still am an advocate for doing it. This particular morning, it was very warm, so warmth is one reason that you'd want to do race retreat. It was nice just to be able to sit down on a chair. It was actually kind of cool in race retreat to meet friends, to talk to friends. We were with a friend of ours, Chris Eliopoulos, is going to be on another show. He was a little nervous too. He was doing some illustrating. He's an artist. And just talk to friends, give each other hugs, good luck, and things like that. And then use the bathrooms, which is worth it for me because nobody likes to stand in those long lines. So it was a nice, kind of a nice way to kind of get the nerves in order before heading out to the corrals. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's funny. I've used race retreat the last several years, but this was the first time I actually ate before a race because I wasn't running. I don't like to eat before a race. I'm usually looking forward to race retreat after.
Yeah, my strategy was to really, in the day before as well, hydrate as best as I could, but really push the Powerade. So that's what I did at race retreat.
So one of the things we noticed this year, Michelle, was something that I had been really... thinking about for a while, and often wondered why they didn't do it, but they started doing it this year, and that is that when they were calling runners to go to their corrals, they staggered. They said, okay, A, B, C, if, you know, please go now. They might, well, you know, I'm starting to think maybe they have done that in the past, but maybe I didn't remember it, but I thought that it's something that's very, very, very good to do, and, when your corral was right, it was called, I said, okay, I will see you somewhere at the Ticket and Transportation Center. And luckily, you took your phone, so we were able to communicate. So yeah, why don't you tell everybody how it was going to the corrals?
Well, I think we're going to talk about that on another show with other people who ran the race, too. But I think here's the reason that they did that. The day before, in my opinion, the day before at the half, they had everybody go to the corrals at the same time. And from what I understand, some people who are running the half said it took 1 hour to get from that staging area into their corral. So they played it. They really went, they really took what happened and they thought about it that night. And they started calling two corrals at a time. So they started with A and B well before the race. And then, you know, all the way down the line. So when we went to the corral, it wasn't bad at all. But we'll talk about that some more on another show.
So while you were going to the corral, I was heading over to the Magic Kingdom.
Okay, so this is the first of a couple of sound bites that I will be recording. It's Sunday, January 13th, I guess, and I am here in the gathering area for the 20th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. It's Marathon Sunday, and I'm not running, I'm injured, but hey, that's the way it goes. I've just said goodbye to Michelle and about a million of my friends, wishing them the best of luck. It's been a very warm weekend so far, and I'm just hoping that everybody's going to be okay today in the heat and humidity. I think that a lot of people are going to be running smart today. They're not looking for PRs, and that's good. So what I'm going to do is, this is going to be really interesting, and I'm going to take everybody along with me. I'm going to chronicle what I'm going to be doing today, as far as cheering and looking for my friends. So what I'm doing is, I'm going to be leaving Epcot right now, and I'll be chiming in with different sound bites and telling everybody what's going on. So this is Mike signing off with this one.
And again, using the monorail, what was different between that Sunday morning and the morning before, Michelle, that I took my time, I took some photos, I went very casually walked over to the monorail, and I remember seeing something. I said, I got to text Michelle as I'm walking up the ramp.
So here's an interesting tidbit. So as I'm walking out of the gathering area, it's almost 5 o'clock. I see runners still coming in, and they have parked in the parking lot that's one over from the Explore parking lot, and it's just crazy to sleep in on race day. Like I said, it's 5 o'clock. They've already called elite runners. They've called corrals A, B, C, D. They're up to E and F. People should be getting into the corrals. And this is something that, you know, it's a lesson to be learned by a lot of people maybe coming here for their first time. You need to get here early. Michelle and I got here around 3:15, 3:30. And went into race retreat, got some nourishment, met some friends, relaxed, got ready, took care of baggage claim and everything, and we're all set. What you don't want to do is, you don't want to get to a point where you're really, really rushed just before the race, going to the corrals. So keep that in mind when you're coming down to do a race. You want to get there early.
The monorail ramp, there were runners coming down. There must have been about 2 or 3 dozen runners who had not even gotten to the gathering spot. And as I'm walking up the ramp, I can hear the DJ saying, if you really want to run this race, you better be heading for your corral now. So I was just amazed at the tardiness of some of these runners.
Yeah, we noticed that at Wine and Dine, too. I don't know. I guess I'm just, you pay all that money, you want to make sure that you get there and you get there on time.
So for those of you who will be coming down with a runner who is part of your family or friends or whatever, and you want to cheer them, and you may come to Epcot with them on race day, you need to be advised that with the roads being closed, the only transportation back and forth from Epcot to the Magic Kingdom Ticket and Transportation Center is the monorail. So be prepared for the longest lines you've ever seen at the monorail. And, you know, when it's one of those things where you really, really have to plan how you're going to cheer, where you're going to cheer from. and how your runner will be able to see you. But what you have to do, this is very, very important, is you have to allocate a lot of time so that you will get to where you need to be as soon as you can. So the advice is, as soon as your runner heads to his or her corral, you head for the monorail.
So meanwhile, I was with Chris, my friend Chris, in Corral F, and it was very, you know, we kind of do what I always do in the corrals, which is kind of meander as far up as I can. But it was pretty, there were a lot of bathrooms along the way. It was pretty easy, you know, very nice. It was warm. We all knew it was going to be warm, but it was Rudy Novotny did a great job. The announcers did a great job. And very soon we were on our way.
You were on your way, and I was on my way to the Ticket and Transportation Center. And what I was trying to find was a spot where I could see you and where you could see me. I wore a red Disney shirt, and my plan was to see everybody near the Ticket and Transportation Center. But instead, that area was blocked off, so I had to figure out, okay, where can I go where I could see everybody and they could see me?
So I just got off the monorail at the TTC, and I'm going down to find a spot where Michelle and several of my friends would see me. What I've decided to do is try to get away from the crowd and be somewhere where I think they can spot me. One of the things I decided to do is wear a bright red Mickey shirt today, and I'll have a white hat on, and I told them where I was going to try to be, on which side of the road. And we'll see what happens. But that's another thing to think about. Make sure your runners know where you're going to be. You get to learn something new every day. So I thought, as a runner, I've always noticed what I noticed, so it's easy to spot people. And I was thinking about getting to the water table right after the TTC, but you can't get there, so I've had to make an adjustment. So where I am is when the runners come into the TTC area, they have to make a hard left turn, and they go down the stretch to where the TTC area is. And so I'm setting myself right out there because it's going to be less crowded, and all my runner friends will be able to see me. So hopefully they will see me, and I'll be able to call out their name. And it's also a small area, and I can spot all the runners. Just another thing that I'm learning as a rookie spectator.
So for those of you who have run either the half or the full, you know that there's at one point when you're getting into the parking lot where you take a left turn, and it's the straightaway to the actual Ticket and Transportation Center, and you will be going underneath a monorail. That's about, what would you say, Michelle, is that 4 miles in?
Yes, I think so. Yep.
It's about 4 miles in. It might be a little less than 4 miles in, because I'm thinking five, because you still have to go up to the Magic Kingdom.
So I'm at the TTC, and the runners are coming in, and you can hear people cheering. You can hear the bells being rung, the cowbells. Lots of runners coming in. Right now I'm looking at the 345 pace runners, and they all look pretty fresh. Some of them look like they're struggling. I'm probably right at maybe the 4 mile mark. So a lot of these runners who I'm watching have 22 miles to go. It's still dark here, and it's not too bad. It's probably in the mid-60s, but going to get warmer. Good luck to these runners.
But anyways, I stood there, and I saw, I must have seen about 50 or 60 of my friends running, and they saw me. And that's where I first saw you, Michelle, and then I said to you, I asked you how you were feeling, and you were feeling okay. It was still somewhat cool. The sun hadn't come up. And then I said, I'm going to try to see you at the Grand Floridian. I had no idea if I was going to make it, but I wanted you to know that I was going to try to be there, and I wanted you to look for me.
Yeah,
and,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to turn it over to you. And how was it from that point on till the next time I saw you?
Well, you know, because it had been warm all weekend, and because we had so many friends who ran the half and told us how hot it was, I knew that the sun coming up was sort of like a ticking time bomb, that I didn't want to go so fast and expend all my energy, but I knew that as soon, I was already very hot, and I'm I'm always cold, so I knew that it was going to be tricky. So I wanted to get as far as I could before the sun came up. Now, there were a lot of water stops, but I was really happy that I had my running belt because I used the two bottles that I brought, 2 8-ounce bottles, a lot. And one thing that I noticed for me is that I started to get hungry very soon, and I'm not really sure why, but it was a lot sooner than my training runs, and I had eaten the way that I needed to eat, but I used a lot of goo very quickly, and there wasn't a lot of goo available. So as I went through the Magic Kingdom, very exciting, very fun, got out of there, I started to think, the 7 that I brought might not hold me until I get to a goo stop. So I started to get a little nervous.
So I've seen a number of runners, including Michelle and a couple of listeners, including Tim Spicer at the TTC, Ticket and Transportation Center. I then walked from the Ticket and Transportation Center area where I was through the Poly to the Grand Floridian, probably walked in some places where I shouldn't have walked, but I was able to stand out and I saw a couple more of runners who I knew, including Michelle, and I posted a photo, and I'm sure you've seen it by now. So what I'm going to try to do, and I don't know if this is going to be a possibility, but what I'm going to try to do is go to MGM Studios now.
Well, what I did is I left the Ticket and Transportation Center parking lot. I walked diagonally over to where the Polynesian is, and I walked behind the Polynesian where everybody else was walking. In front of the Polynesian. I walked behind the Polynesian, cutting off some areas, and then I cut over to where there was construction down near the where they're building the new DVC, villas for the Grand Floridian, and I cut over to the Wedding Pavilion, and I saw you for the second time over there, and I believe that was 7.5 miles in, and the sun had started to rear its ugly head.
Yeah, it started to get really, really hot, and I was nervous. I have to admit, I was very nervous. I saw people really being considerate, taking it easy. There were some stretches along that back area that were very narrow, and there was a place that people were calling Cone Alley that they actually divided a 2-lane highway going, you know, with the cars going back and forth. On the left side were runners. On the right side was traffic going through. And some runners were actually running on the other side of those cones. I was so nervous and so scared. But I started to realize this was going to be a very, very tricky thing. I could see from my splits that it was going to be a much longer race than I had anticipated because of the heat. But I knew that I needed to just pay attention to my body, take it slowly, make sure that I was hydrating. Hydration was the most important thing. And I decided to just take Powerade. I didn't take any water during the whole race. I just did Powerade because I wanted that salt and those electrolytes. I knew that that was important.
That was a good idea.
Another thing that I really liked was because I have my name on my shirt, which I would recommend everybody do, I had, when I passed people, when I passed cheers, people would say, "Go, Michelle," and it was really nice. But also, I was able to run into a lot of people, not literally run into them, but pass by and run with a lot of friends. And so it was a much more, I found this race, probably because it was so long, to be much more social, and that I got a chance to run with lots and lots of friends, and that was really enjoyable. Really liked that.
All right, I had to stop this. There was a, like I said, I'm walking in places where I shouldn't be walking, but that's only between you and me, okay? So I am, I was saying that where I just saw Michelle and a few other runners, probably around the 7.5, maybe 8 mile mark, so there's still 18 miles to go. What they have to do is they have to go to the speedway, going to go around the speedway, and then they're going to go to the Animal Kingdom, and then from the Animal Kingdom they're going to have to go to World of Sports, and that's going to be right around the 20 mile mark. So when you think about the great movie ride, we're talking about, I don't know, 22 miles in, maybe 23. So that means that Michelle has about 16 miles to go before I'll see her again. So that gives me some time to get over there. So again, I'm walking from the Grand Floridian to the Polynesian. I'm going to take a bus to Hollywood Studios. And maybe I'll get to see her a third time. We'll see.
And so one of the new things we did, Mike, that I know that you haven't done before, and this is sort of highly anticipated, was we got to run on the racetrack. I'm not sure. What's the formal name of the racetrack?
Speedway? Walt Disney World Speedway, I believe.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. And I ran in there with two friends, Mark and Mary Jo. And we actually, there's an area where you're running into the track where it was pretty steep, and they had warnings going in, and then pretty steep going down and then coming back up. And we ran along the track, and they had music blaring from cars, which is kind of fun. And I'm not a race fan, so I didn't know what to expect. But and I don't want to go into all of it too much, but that was, I found that to be really, really exciting. We can talk about that as we review the marathon a little bit more. But I would do that again. I really enjoyed that. At that point, coming out of there, the sun was up, and that's when it got a little tricky. Where's the next point I saw you? I'm not sure I saw you before I went into Wide World of Sports.
Well, one of the things that I realized was that, okay, so that's about 7.5 miles at Grand Floridian. I wouldn't get to see you again until maybe 22.5 miles in. I had to decide, I was pretty sure that I couldn't, I didn't think I could do Animal Kingdom, Disney Hollywood Studios, and Epcot. So I decided that the best thing to do would be to go over to the Disney Hollywood Studios area and find a spot there so I could root and cheer for you and many of our friends. So what I did is I walked to the Ticket and Transportation Center from the Grand Floridian, because all the buses were leaving from the Ticket and Transportation Center. Those people who were staying at the Polynesian had to walk to the Ticket and Transportation Center for the buses.
So as I'm walking from the Grand Floridian to the Polynesian and back to the TTC, where the buses are, you can't really take a bus from the Polynesian anywhere on marathon weekend, at least on Sunday when you've got the marathon going through all four parks plus the World of Sports. A lot of people who are complaining about the transportation, and it's a case where they really weren't aware of what to expect on this morning when they're trying to track their runner friends and relatives and all that. So this is just a little note just to remind everyone that if you're going to do this someday, really, really, really sit down and plan how you're going to do race morning if you're going to track. You want to see your runner. You can't see your runner in many places. You'll have to pick and choose. For a half marathon, you basically have one chance to see them, and that's during the race and then at the end, of course. If you have someone running the marathon, you have a shot at maybe 3 or 4 if you're really good. So far, I've got 2 in. I'm hoping I can get at least 3. We'll see what happens. But the point of this is to plan.
So I took a bus, and I took a bus to the Disney Hollywood Studios theme park.
Okay, so I just got off the bus, and now I'm at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Where I really am is I'm on the pathway from where the studios goes to the Boardwalk Villas. And this way I can see runners who I know, and I'm way away from everybody. I've got this really red shirt on so people can see me. We're about 22, 23 miles in, and these people look like they're ready to see the finish line. So good for them.
And instead of going into the theme park, because I thought about, well, maybe I can settle on Hollywood Boulevard, but I had some thoughts in the back of my head which paid dividends later on. What I did is I set myself up next to a tree in the shade on the path to the Boardwalk Villas. And I was about maybe 50 to 75 feet into that path, so I could see everybody coming from out of the studios into the path. And I was there for about 3 hours.
Well, just saw one of my buddies. You may have heard about him, Eddie McCoy. He's at this point, which is about 22, 23 miles in, and he says he's feeling pretty good. He's going to get in before it gets really, really warm. Well, these people look pretty good. But again, you know, they're very strong runners here, and these are the people who are going to get out of the heat. It's only, let's see, a little bit after 9, maybe 9:30, so this is going to be good for them. Okay, bye-bye.
And I got to see a lot of people, including you, Michelle, and that was between 15 and 16 miles after I had seen you at the Grand Floridian, and there was a completely different overall look on everyone's faces than what I had seen at the Ticket and Transportation Center parking lot and at the Grand Floridian. It was quite different.
So I'm here at the boardwalk. I'm about 2.5 miles from the finish line. You can hear people are cheering the runners on. This is a very dangerous spot. It's right near where the buses are at MGM Studios, and it's the path to boardwalk. And a lot of the runners at this point start thinking about running on the grass sometimes, and some of them have, and some of them have taken some bad falls. So if you ever do run this race and you're at this point, you got to be careful. You got to remember, you've already run 22 miles, 23 miles, maybe 22 and a half, and you're not, you know, you may not be as steady on your feet. So why try running on grass that's unsteady and maybe slippery? So I just thought I'd make that point while I'm here. A lot of runners have come by, still a lot more to go. It's 9:40 in the morning, and there's at least 2.5, maybe almost 3 more hours of runners to get by. That's how many runners are running this race.
Yeah, it was. I would have to say it was a brutal race. It was really tough because of the heat conditions. Some of the things they did along the course were to hand out sponges. Finally, at about mile 14, we got goo. There were bananas a few times. I started at this point doing walk, run, walk, run. And we'll go over the race course with other people, but we'll talk about what happened at mile 20. But I knew at this time there's no way anything I did was going to be a PR. I just wanted to be safe, and I was a little nervous. I noticed, you know, I didn't see a preponderance of people who were sick, but I stopped to get a Band-Aid for a blister at a medical tent, and some people were pretty sick, and I have to applaud people who made the call to pull themselves out, because no race is worth it. For myself, I felt, you know, I knew that it was going to be tough, and I felt like when I got to the studios that I knew that I could do it. I was running with my buddy Charlie at that point. Saw a lot of friends, a lot of people cheering. Really, really appreciated you and other people cheering. But it was tough. It was very tough, tough race, as you've heard me say. And so it was really nice when we were running down the boardwalk to see you and our friends Joe and Melissa cheering for us. But at that point, I could say pretty much all of us were done. We wanted to be done. We had a few miles more to go. But so you noticed that a lot of people were walking at that point, Mike?
Well, you know what was funny, Michelle? I mean, I knew a lot of people who were running in the race, and I knew a lot of people. I knew their times. I knew who was fast, who was extremely fast, and I noticed that those who I thought would have passed long time ago were back in the pack, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is really, really having an impact on them. One person in particular, Jeff Galloway, who I know pretty much what his pace was, and this was far slower than his normal pace. He and his wife they ran by me, and I'm thinking, whoa, this is really taking its toll on Jeff, and he's smart enough to dial it back. The other thing is that I saw a lot of people stumbling and falling. That might have been like what a lot of people would say, the area where the wall is, where they just were, you know, hurting. There was one runner in particular who was cramping up, and I gave him I had several bottles of water, and I gave him a bottle of water. And one of the things I noticed was the camaraderie and the brotherhood, sisterhood, if you will, of all the runners helping each other, making sure that, you know, everybody was up and running. There's no competition. It's just everybody. We're in this for a party, and it was really.
I wouldn't say it was a party. But there definitely was. I mean, I saw some other runners who were running together. Our friends Michael and Eric. They were having a great time. I was running with a few times with my friend Judy, and we'd kind of check in on each other. How you doing? It's hot out here. Oh yes, it is. A friend of ours, Laura O, had orange slices for everybody. So the spectators and the people who were running were just very, very polite and kind. And so it was really fun as we got into Epcot and then over to Great Britain, going counterclockwise around World Showcase. I saw another friend, Becky. You know, I was giving hugs to everybody because I needed hugs all along the way. Another friend of ours, Sid, I saw. And Charlie and I were running together at that point, and we agreed that was the longest time around World Showcase. We knew that what was waiting for us and that medal. And we didn't know if the gospel choir was going to be there, but as we turned in towards the finish line, the gospel choir was there, and I'll probably speak for him and say that we both had tears in our eyes, and we were doing a walk run, and we looked at each other and we said, "Let's run." So we ran to the finish line, and it was great. So one thing that I noticed is that I had a lot of little aches and pains that I normally didn't have. I think I have a toenail issue. The bottom of my feet were kind of sore. But again, I really appreciated having Race Retreat because I went into the tent and did something that I normally don't do. I drank 2 cans of Coke. You were there, Mike. I just drank them down. And they also had fruit bars, frozen fruit bars, that I think I had at least 2 of those. I just was so warm. But I'll tell you, that medal was unbelievable. It's still wonderful. And I don't know, Mike, when you saw me, did I say I would never do it again? Or I think I knew that I wanted to try it again.
All I know is that when I saw you at the studios, which was about 22 and a half, maybe 23 miles, you looked kind of refreshed. And I said, "I'll see you at the finish." And I didn't know if I would. After you left, I turned around. I went up the hill, which was only about maybe 10, 20 feet. And 20 feet from there was a bus to Epcot. I got to Epcot and I walked to the finish.
So I'm at the finish line waiting for Michelle to finish. I've seen her at the Ticket and Transportation Center. I've seen her at the Grand Floridian. I've seen her right outside the studios. And I learned how to cheer and be a spectator at this weekend. And I can tell you, it's a lot of work. But if I had my druthers, I'd rather run. So I'm going to try to keep this on. And so you can hear the announcers announce Michelle finishing. She should be finishing soon. And here comes Michelle and Charlie. She's just crossed the mat, and Rudy's probably going to call her name in about 5 or 10 seconds.
Greg Landry and Madison Morton showing in. Here's my Manchester United fan. We have not seen a Man City runner yet. You win.
Michelle, love you, girl.
Great job, Michelle.
You might have heard Rudy yell at Michelle, and she's finishing. She is now a marathon finisher. Maybe I can get an interview with her.
And the audio that I play during this episode has Rudy yelling, "Hey, Michelle!" And I hope everybody heard that.
Oh, that's good.
And then I met you at the race retreat, gave you a hug for your first marathon accomplishment. And yeah, you were throwing it down. You were really hungry and thirsty. And all you wanted was those, they had the fruit bars.
Yeah.
You wanted those fruit bars. And you didn't want anything else but a fruit bar. And
the frozen fruit bar, yeah.
Frozen fruit bar.
And take my shoes off.
Take your shoes off, yeah. So yeah.
It was great.
And that's where Race Retreat really pays off at the end of the race.
For me, it did. But you know what, Mike? I would do it again. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed so many aspects. I think in terms of my training, there's not much that I could have done to do differently. And I hurt my toe. That kind of impacted my training for the last 2 weeks. But I think I ran a smart race. It was a very slow race, but it was it was a good race for me because then that night I felt absolutely fantastic. The next 2 days I was pretty sore, but there's not much I would have done differently. I would like to improve, but I really, really had a great time I'm on a high. It's been several days now and I'm still, you know, very, very excited about it. And you know, it was wonderful too, as a parent, my kids were excited for me and my 13-year-old wants to do more running. My 19-year-old wants to do more running. And so that was really nice.
So we hope this show has given everybody an insight of what that particular weekend was all about, especially what it means to run a marathon and what it means to look for your runner. I hope that, Michelle and my dialogue interviewing each other and the audio that we've interspersed in this show will give everybody a taste for what it was like. So, Michelle, one more time before I sign off, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Right. So now you can just introduce me as Marathon Michelle.
Marathon Michelle.
That's what my business card says now.
I will make sure that I do that. And so for Marathon Michelle Scribner-McLean, my name is Mike Scopa, and we will see you on the road.
Now, some races are short and some are long, and it doesn't matter if you win or lose, as long as you go the distance.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.